Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Advanced Warfare. Oh my god, so much crazy stuff has happened since the last time we talked. It's been 2 whole weeks. We obviously took a break. We did a little Adepticon adventure, which was a blast. Absolute fun time. Had a great time. The singles terrain was meh, but we'll get into that. And then we've had a bunch of exciting reveals at Adepticon, which we were kind of waiting to touch on until we knew exactly what was being revealed. We had some inklings. We talked about that previously, but Lionel Johnson is coming. He's coming in a box set with 3 Blade Guard. That's what you get for putting Blade Guard in the Indominus box. Everybody's already got them, so I understand why you're putting them into the Lionel Johnson one. But and then 10th edition has been announced. Scott, what are your initial thoughts here?
I'm not a big change guy, so it's not. But actually, I think it's good. Everything I'm seeing so far, you know, I'm buying into their marketing thing. Simplified, not simple.
To me, that screams more organized, hopefully.
Yes, yeah. Hopefully, we don't get to the point where we have to have 4 books with to play a single army. And it seems like that, you know, one of their comments was, is when you pick your faction, it's very, very hard. And I'm assuming they mean competitive play in the matched play or whatever, that you can't really mix factions anymore, other than maybe bringing in like a Inquisitor or something like that. Which,
oh my God, if they did that, thank the Lord, because I can't tell you, it's like, okay, I need 6 books to play this army. And like, I'm going to do it because I'm a hyper competitive player, but like,
I mean, before Custodes got their book, their codex, you had Psychic Awakening, their codex, plus like the Imperial Armor book, and like some of the other ones, you know, like, I mean, Dark Eldar, when they were in their heyday, they had 2 books, you know, you're carrying around the supplements, so.
3. They had 3 books.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Psychic Awakening and that White Dwarf with the,
yeah,
the Spectacle Murder Ladies in it, whatever the heck they're called.
Yeah, so hopefully it gets back to being simpler. It looks like we're going to stay at 2,000 points, so at least they listed out the 3 sizes today. The Incursion at 1,000, Strikeforce at 2,000, Onslaught at 3,000, which is exactly the same as it was in 9th, so that's good. Army building looks to be a lot like arcs, it seems like, you know, like free flowing in your detachments.
It looks like an improvement on the current arcs one, where they're not so crazy on the troops, but still give you options.
Yeah, the 6 baseline or 6 dedicated transports, so that's pretty good there. I like that.
So whatever they mean by that, I'm sure some stuff is going to pop up with keywords that we haven't seen yet. This battle line keyword, which
it seems going off of Age of Sigmar, that was their troop. Is the battle line guys is kind of like the equivalent of troop. They tend to get special rules a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I assume something like that. And you know, I don't think it's Age of Sigmifying this 40K. Obviously, hopefully they take some of the best stuff from Age of Sigmar and port it over, and keep some of the other stuff like Double Turn. They keep that. Don't want that.
Yeah, keep that away. We don't want it. Nobody wants to get shot by Tau twice. I'm just saying, like, if you want to go ultimate, if you want to get ultimate feels bads going, you let Tau shoot people twice before they can move.
Well, or guard the way guard is right now, or even Iron Hands.
Yeah, well, they don't have like a previous stigma like the Tau do, but the Tau, for sure.
I don't want 30 Desolation Marines shooting me twice in a row.
Yeah, that also yes.
Hi, GSC. Your whole army's gone in 2 turns. other stuff that they announced: new Terminator models. From a lore perspective, they said Primaris and Firstborn will be able to wear Terminator suits, so there will be no quote-unquote Primaris Terminator. It's just a single Terminator model. So,
yeah, and I thought that was going to be kind of hard to get around with how the lore of the Terminator was. So I was like, I don't know how you get around this, like.
This
ancient armor of antiquities with ultimate defenses that they can't make anymore. And then here we have this better armor with better stuff. Like, no, that's, you already said it's the best. You gotta roll with it.
Yeah, the one interesting thing is that I think in one of the articles they made a comment that there's that this kit or the Terminators is like you have Terminators now. You don't have Assault Terminators and Terminator Squad anymore. So it's one box at least to make them. I don't know if it means that, you can't take three Assault Terminator Squads and three regular Terminator Squads. So because the rule of three obviously still exists. So bye-bye. So spam is still being toned down. And honestly, like if they had something like that and you couldn't take 45 Deathwing Terminators, it might not have some of the issues they currently have in the meta.
I agree.
Tyranid players should be very happy. They got their first new models since, well, I guess they got the Parasite, but previous to the Parasite was like 2014.
Bro, they're getting so many new models, it looks like, from that picture. So
If
many.
that trailer is right, there's that weird brain bug Zoanthrope super looking thing. There was that flying hive tyrant thing that was just tearing people apart. There's Carnifexes in that too. So I don't know
And
if all of them
even,
are getting new kits, but it'd be cool if they
dude,
did.
that Carnifex look way different. I hope that's a new kit because that looks sweet.
Yeah, he had some sort of poison breath weapon too that he just spit all over that Terminator or that Marine and just made him evaporate. So
Yeah, I gave him a bad day. I want lots of bad days as long as it's in the form of new models from GW.
yeah, and the new data slate looked good. Kind of built-in ballistic skill and weapon skills on the specific melee weapon. So,
Yeah, like a Thunder Hammer is going to need a certain to hit.
yeah, and I don't know if they'll take out a ju being able to. We don't know enough to know if there's still negatives to hit or pluses to hit or anything like that. So,
I bet
buffs
you
like
they'll
that.
still be there, but like, I think what they're doing, and this is just me speculating here, is that when they say simplified, this is one of the things that they're talking about, where you don't have to go look at like the 16 different minus ones to hit. There's just one universal special rule that you get minus one to hit if this situation is in effect, like walking with a heavy weapon or shooting at through a forest. They're not going to stack anymore, I don't think. Or at least that was my impression of what's going on. I could be
Yeah, and
wrong.
that kind of goes back to they did announce universal special rules. So we won't have 10 wordings of fight last. It's fight last is the special rule, and it's all worded the same all the time. So
I even heard that fight last is going away.
that'd be interesting.
That's I heard that. Not that that's confirmed, but I did hear that.
Yeah, I mean that'd be cool. OBSEC seems to have gone the way of the dodo bird as well. They have objective control counters now on data sheets,
That's
which
an
basic.
interesting thing. So basically, you're not going to have to sit there and argue about who controls the objective because they didn't understand the spider web that was OBSEC control.
Yeah, well, it also makes sense that like a single guardsman can't hop onto an objective and steal it from, five Terminators. Like, just that doesn't make sense in the lore that. That he, oh, I'm alive. I get it. Oh, fine, I guess.
I guess you get the data slate. Our bad.
I think they mentioned that they're trying digital again with codexes and stuff. So,
And
a
you know
new,
what? Kudos to them because
yeah.
originally I thought that that was really crappy that they went away from it until I heard a little bit more of the intermixings of Games Workshop and how that has been a main revenue driver for them for such a long time because I mean, it's really hard and to their first attempt at it. I don't know if anybody knows this, that they took a huge hit on the piracy
Yeah.
forum.
Yeah, the
Everybody
PDF
who
version.
plays competitively knows that and is guilty of that. I was guilty of that. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you got something sent to you, are you really gonna not say no? I did make up for it where I buy every single codex that comes out now. I'm a TO. They have offered me free stuff. I go out and buy the codex. And then when my code comes in, that's what I put into my app. I don't put my book code in there. So don't come steal my books because you'll get a free code. That's not going to happen. I'll fight you tooth and nail for my books. But
Yeah.
my point being is that I recognize that they need, like, this is a way to support the hobby that I need to do because if I don't buy stuff from Games Workshop, the game eventually just goes away. And I know I'm going off on a random tangent here, but I'm just emphasizing that if they go digital again, you guys need to just buy the books that you want and don't go out there and pirate $1 million. They're simplifying everything so that when you come to the table, you are not going to need to know 17 million strats from Ultramarine, Space Marines, and whatever, Vigilus alone or whatever. That's not going to happen. They've said that that's not going to be a thing. So you guys need to just come together and support this. I know Games Workshop hasn't been the best to us as far as price gouging goes because they definitely know that they're a monopoly. And if anybody from Games Workshop ends up listening to this podcast, you guys know it. You said you were going to raise prices like 5% and you did 10% on the website. Like you think we couldn't, don't do math. But regardless, the hobby still, if it ends up being not supported because it's some piracy, then we're the ones that killed the game. You know, we got to put the ball in their court as
Yeah,
far
my
as.
guess is these ones will come through this. They announced like a new Warhammer 40K app. So hopefully it's better than the piece of crap we currently have.
I have assurances that it will be from
Well,
upper echelon.
I've subscribed to it because I like having the digital stuff there just there for searching and quick access to rules when I don't have to carry all my books with
Absolutely.
me. But I've given them plenty of money for something that's basically Wapedia in an app form. So,
Well, make no mistake, Wikipedia is totally illegal, but whatever.
yes, it is very much so, but I know people use it. So hopefully they, I honestly, I hope they look at like how Wapedia is set up and they copy that because it's really kind of handy when you go and look at it. So,
Yes, it is.
and I hope they, look at like ITC battle apps and copy some of that and like how that format and how that works and like how to score games and stuff in there. And they could get that data then. And the list building app that Battlescribe currently has, that's freaking amazing for building lists.
Yep.
It could be better, but it could be worse.
I think part of the problem though with like building those out is like, then this is just me speculating, is that I've heard that one Games Workshop is very protective of their IP, so if they do find you doing stuff, they're going to send you a cease and desist right away. But the other piece of this is that if they like what you have, maybe eventually it'll work out, but I don't feel like they shell out cash very easily. They're very frugal as far as third party stuff goes.
Yeah, they
And
don't
that's
just
just.
buy it and make it their own, but they kind of have done that with some of the Warhammer TV stuff. That's the one hope there, some of these
And that's
videos
what,
that,
yep, that's what I was just going to mention is that they have shown some opposite, you know, that some other tendencies now with this Warhammer, the Warhammer, what is it? Yeah, it is Warhammer TV. You're correct, Scott. I just looked it up on my favorites bar.
I have
Yeah.
that app. I do that. So I've
And you
watched a
know,
couple of them.
I watched it too, and you know, one of the things that they do well is the painting masterclass is actually quite nice. I actually picked up quite a few techniques that I did not previously do, which I thought, you know, I can paint pretty well if I want to. Not crazy good, but I can paint okay. Like I can do better than tabletop standard.
Yes.
And they gave like some of the stuff that I was curious on how some of these pro painters did was way easier than I ever thought it was. So kudos to them.
Yeah, it's just it's time and effort if you really want to paint well. But I mean, there's some skill there in being able to paint in the lines, but a lot of it's just time and effort.
Yeah, a lot of times they just tell you like, just go touch it up. It'll be fine. Touch it up.
Yeah,
Right
I
now,
really
I'm
enjoyed
painting.
the yeah, go ahead.
I'm painting rivets on my Impulsor, and I've already messed up twice. But I can go back and touch it up.
I can honestly say I've never painted a rivet. Never, not once.
I shouldn't paint a rivet, is what you're telling me? Dude, I'm halfway through this Impulsor, and I shouldn't paint rivets.
I
Nah, they look good over here. I'm gonna keep painting rivets.
You go ahead and paint rivets if that's what you want to do. I'm not, I don't. Unless a dry brush catches it, nope. On
Yep.
Warhammer TV, I did watch that awesome Tau series called Exodite where the Tau where the Eldar killed all the Tau. That was fun.
That was hilarious because I thought it was gonna be like this big badass Tau, like we're
Yeah.
winning, and then it turned out it was just a solo Eldar demolishing a stealth suit team.
And then like all the then all the Wraith Knights coming through and just blasting everything. That was pretty cool. Like this is hilarious.
Yeah, and then the one whatever, not the spoiler, like, but the one lady is like alive at the end, but not really. Like, good luck.
Well, the Harlequin they got the Harlequins are there with her or something like that, because the guy becomes a Harlequin at the end or something.
No, they just let him in the Webway, and the Harlequins are there, and then it's like,
Oh, okay.
oh well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to get, and it was a death jester on the other side, so good luck.
Yeah, so I mean, back to like 10th edition, it sounds like the kickoff is going to be Highfeet Leviathan versus Blood Angels. So the leaked Dante's, well, the reveal of Dante from 2 weeks ago, I assume he'll be in that box, you know, as kind of possibly in that box, or maybe the Blood Angels will get some new models, like maybe upgraded Sanguinar Guard or something like that. So be pretty cool to get that. So,
Yep.
yeah, so kind of where
Let's
they're
talk
at right
about
now.
the lion. Oh, like, you ever seen?
Yeah.
I mean, here's why I'm all sweaty, hot, and bothered, right? Because they didn't do what I thought they were going to do. I thought they were going to do, like, we're going to have another badass Primarch. Here he is. But instead, out walks Old Man Lion, right?
Grandpa Lion,
Grandpa Lion,
get
and
off my lawn.
that's my favorite meme, is that him saying "Get off my lawn" to Angron.
Yeah.
But he still looks sweet, right? Like the model is undeniably cool.
Oh yeah, it looks amazing.
I don't know if they're trolling when they did this, but they gave him the Emperor's Shield, quote unquote, but it's really just like, what is it, his shoulder icon or his chest, whatever this thing's called.
Well,
And
like
its rules reflect that. That's why I laughed.
I think the model looks great. You know, I think my favorite piece on the model is the cowled helm, where he's got the helmet but the cowl up. I really like that one.
Yeah, I like the one with the big angel wings on the top.
That one's pretty cool too. I mean, just the like I don't really like naked heads on models very much. I like, you know,
Doesn't
nobody
no it,
people
dude.
don't go
This
to
is a
war
40.
without your helmet on.
Just so everybody's clear what a bolter shell is, it is not like a bullet. It is an explosive shell, right?
A
So
grenade, yeah.
it's like shooting a grenade. So walking around with your helmet up when that's what strength 4, AP nothing, 1 damage, doesn't seem smart to me. Now, the fact that a Space Marine can eat two of those to the face and still be okay, all right.
Yeah. But the face one looks like it looks like Tywin Lannister. That was what I saw when I first saw it. I'm like, oh, it's Tywin Lannister. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So
I mean, they had to have seen it. I mean, I don't know how
oh
long ago they made the model, but I feel like Tywin Lannister was a thing.
yeah, I'm sure this is, I mean, that was 10 years ago already at this point when Game of Thrones first launched.
Is it
So
really? Fuck, I'm so old.
yeah, it's at least 10 years ago now from season one of it.
Oh
Because
my goodness.
it ran for 7 or 8 seasons. It was 7 or 8, I can't remember. But yeah, it's been off the air now for 2 or 3 years. So hell, we got the sequel prequel thing already out. So
Yep.
yeah, so the Lion, awesome model, pretty cool. His stats look, it's hard to judge his stats. I don't know if they just threw, because the edition is so close to being done, I don't know if they just threw stats on, I don't know if they put much thought into it, but he's 10 attacks base. He can get sweep for 2x, so he gets 20 attacks. He's 9 wounds, so he's character protectable. 2 up, 4 up, you know, pretty cool. He can come out of deep strike anywhere, so that's pretty sweet. So
I like him. You know, he doesn't
yeah.
strike me as like, we haven't seen his full data slate, so he might have some other abilities too, like Dark Angels reroll ones and to hit and wound like Bobby G does or whatever,
Yeah.
but just attacks wise he looks pretty sweet. I think he's gonna definitely catch people off guard with how much damage he can do with the 20 sweeps. I think that the damage 4 with -5 is ridiculously good too, but you know, we don't have the rest of it, but he's still kind of slow. He's
Yeah,
slow
he's only.
boy.
Well, that's where the deep strike thing comes in a little bit. And if you have the chaplain plus 2 inches to your charge thing, that might make coming out of deep strike not as horrible.
Sure. Yep, agreed.
So maybe he's got play, maybe he doesn't. It'll be curious to see what his stats look like in 10th edition, since the other kind of big item that they mentioned in 10th edition is that the game will be less deadly than it currently is. So we shall see on that.
Dear Lord, it needs to be, because like right now it's either you can tank the entire game on one unit, or if you peek out, you're just dead. Like I can't even be a Gladiator Reaper My Reaper tanks that I took to Adepticon are 12 wounds, T8, 3 up save with a 5 up invuln. If I peeked them out, I had to assume they were dead. That's how deadly this game is. That's a T8 model with 12 wounds with a 5 up invuln with a 3 up save. That's ludicrous.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, if you weren't running Deathwing Terminators or possessed with the Black Rune or the Warden, the 10 Wardens with transhuman, no rerolls buffs up on them, like, it's just dead. Like,
yep.
I mean, I shot a Valiant tank in anger. I did 15 wounds to him, to a buddy.
Right,
it's like,
right. And, you know, I got to just mention this just for. Because I like Angron, but making him T7 with 18 wounds, I mean,
he's a little.
If his wings weren't so huge and he could maybe hide behind some of the terrain here in the U.S., I'd be thinking a different story. But it's not.
No,
I'd like him a lot. I still think he's very viable. But if he didn't have the comeback blood type thing, he'd just be a useless model. Just in case you're wondering.
Yeah. One of our teammates, or one of our club mates, they had their team, and they played into World Eaters and something else. It was like World Eaters and like another faction. I can't remember what the other faction was, like Grey Knights or something silly like that. They shot and killed Angron top of one, and he couldn't come back because they didn't get blood tithe points in the teams. Talk about ultimate field pass. Here's your 600-point model who's just dead.
Hey, here's my new Angron, new Primarch. He's the best. Oh.
Oh,
yeah, that is a feel. That is pretty bad. That is pretty feel bad.
But it is. I mean, that's just how it is, though.
You know? Right.
And hopefully,
I mean, you're not wrong.
The one fear I do have about keeping models alive is we're still, you know, they also talk about making the gameplay faster. Well, if I still have 1,500 points of my army alive going into turn 4, that game is taking forever to play because I got so much stuff to move and do. So hopefully they simplify the decision making and remove dice rolls or something like that, so to make it faster.
There's no more psychic phase. That's a bonus.
Well, I mean, there is and there isn't because it happens in the command phase now. So you got to kind of plan that.
Get out of here with your logic.
And that's a huge change because, like, you know, You play Eldar, so I'm curious to see how that goes, because that was like the big thing with Eldar is being able to move, you know, 22 inches, cast spells, and do stuff. So having to be in position to turn before and then not die and then be able to cast the spells will be an interesting concept here.
Yeah, you're not wrong. So we'll see how that goes. But I think what they want to accomplish with that is just make it harder to do that, like just make somebody not interact with you, and more power to them. If it takes away a cool trick from me, but it makes the game better overall, I'm for it.
Yeah, because it kind of puts the onus on the quote unquote defender in the psychic phase. So, like, you know, if you have a psychic phase, I'm the defender in that psychic phase. So it gives me a turn to move within 24 inches of you so I can deny your spells as you try to cast them.
Yep.
Whereas in the way the current edition works is you get to move out of 24 inches of range of me and then cast spells. So you can't get denied at all. So it removes that interaction. So it's like if I want to force interaction with you, I can force it.
Yep.
Which
I like
I
that.
Think is kind of a cool concept. So.
I like it. Yes. Yes, yes,
yes. Anything where we have to interact with each other while playing the game is a good thing. So,
yes, I agree. Totally agree, Scott.
Yeah. So let's. I think that's enough 10th edition talk. We'll obviously be covering that more as we get more information. You know, I would assume a drop in June. That'd be my rough guess. I don't think they actually gave us a date, but that's historically has been towards the end of June is when stuff is dropped.
So, yeah, I know. That'd
before
be
the
a pretty.
July holiday.
That's probably a pretty safe bet. Just because, you know, when's the next big GW tournament, right? So
the team tournament June 4th. So I would assume after that.
Yeah, because I don't think that they want to release a new edition and then try to do a team tournament with it right after that. Team tournament's a little bit more complicated.
That seems aggressive. Yeah.
There's way too many rivets on a damn impulsor.
There is. There's lots of them.
70 rivets in. Anyway, let's go to Adepticon and talk about the singles event. to preface this, let's go over some general stuff. They had like, what was it, four or five different board sets to play on, essentially. Once you got
Yeah.
towards the top, you had the Necron board, which is awful. They know that. They're totally aware of that. That is the next set that they're replacing. I don't remember what set went quietly into the night.
The orc set.
The orc set. Well, Scott remembers.
I was told that. That's why I know that. I was talking to the TO about it and what their plans were, because if they weren't planning to continue to at least make some progress, I don't know. Outside teams, I wouldn't come back.
Yeah. So the we've got the Necron board. There was an industrial board, industrial-ish, that had some silos that were like crates. It had two big rocks and it had like four or two ruins and then two smaller ruins.
Yeah.
That one actually was okay. I didn't mind that one. I played Dark Angels on that one. And then they had
The hangers.
the hangars, which I didn't get the pleasure to play on, thank God. And
I played Dark Angels on
And then they had one that was more normal, which I ended up playing guard on, which had two big rocks, two ruins, some crates, and some forests.
The
The only thing
16-inch
else,
long rocks was kind of weird.
yeah, okay, the rocks were a little big, and the forests were still a little big. They're definitely still made for the old board size. And then help me out here, Scott. I played on that, and let's see, there was the
There's
green
actually a peer.
crystals.
There's a peer GW one. The green crystals were with the Necron one, but there's the peer GW one, which had, I guess, the stuff that dropped in eighth, kind of the weird, where they have the statues that come off of the side of the cathedral looking pieces and stuff
Oh,
that
yeah.
really don't function very well. They look nice and they look like they would function, but they really don't because they're just full of windows, so if you stand in it, you just get seen by everything. Because Adepticon did not have a rule for a first level blocked line of sight with their
That is
player
true.
placed terrain. They also had a couple other weird rules in their player placed terrain, or quirks, I would say. One of the quirks was you, when you placed your player placed terrain, as long as 51% of the piece was on your half of the board, which came off of your battle edge, you could place it. So you could put 49% of a ruin that is 12 by 12 on your opponent's side of the board. So they have, which just made it almost impossible for your opponent to place all their terrain.
Yeah, that was weird. And
Honestly, if the pieces were more appropriate, I don't mind it so much. It's actually kind of a neat thing you could actually protect. Because that's my issue with player placed terrain is like, the way that LVO does it, where the line just goes straight through the middle of all those objectives, you literally can't protect some of those objectives. Like you can put a piece that covers half of it or something. So,
right.
but the other thing that Adepticon, or who places terrain first. So then you place
Yep.
your terrain, and then you roll again for attacker and defender. And if you win that roll, you can choose to flip the table where I can take your side and you can take mine. So I can purposely set up the terrain crappy on my side that's. It's decent for me, but
And if you
real
think people
horse
weren't
crap
going to
for
do
you.
this happened to me twice.
I was actually on a table where Dennis Love was playing World Eaters against a guard player. The guard player obviously knew this because he was setting up his terrain where he put his terrain behind the objective. So, like, the objectives were fully exposed if you were standing them. You were not in cover, nothing. And Dennis was setting up his side with all of the objective markers very, very well protected. So you could hide world eaters on them and stay on the objective. The guard player, Dennis, world eaters don't have any shooting to speak of really that matters. So the guard player knew he'd be able to stand on the objectives, even if he didn't win the roll, and it's had to stand in the open on him. He'd be fine. He won the roll, flipped it, and Dennis, bless his heart, played that game out. It was a little salty at times, but he played it out and he gave it as everything he could, but I think it was a 36 to 100. I mean, it was just like, and I was shocked that the World Eater scored 36 points in that. But there were some real feel bads for some guys that got caught off guard because it was in the packet. I did see it in the packet. I didn't see it until somebody told me about it because I didn't read it that closely. But I think that's how a lot of people were. So a lot of people got caught very off guard by that rule.
I'm going to be honest, I made it to the fourth round not doing that, and then the fourth round it got flipped on me. And I didn't know it was a thing until the fourth round.
Yeah. Yep. I don't even know if any of my opponents knew about it. I knew about it round three because that's when I was next to the table that it happened on. It was
Right, I didn't know about it after you told me it, but it didn't happen to me until round four, which happened to be one of my toughest games. So.
Well, I mean, that was tough because that list wasn't. We'll get into
Yeah, that's fine.
that. Overall, I think the event was run pretty smooth. Rounds started on time, rounds ended on time in general, mostly because games tended to be very lopsided. Like you either won big or lost big. There wasn't too many close games that I saw.
Correct.
That's just the nature of Adepticon terrain because, like, you just step in and you start blasting. And
Yes. Such a good analogy for it. Yep.
one
So
side
I
dies
started
real fast.
blasting.
So kind of just this, I think we'll just kind of step through our games real quick. I mean, honestly, with Adepticon, it's its own unique meta because of the terrain. So my list, I brought six Impulsors, filled with Assault Intercessors in each one, Thunderhammers, Plasma Pistol, and then I took a Chaplain of the Master of Sanctity Chaplain on bike with Tannhauser's Bones and Crusader, or not Crusader, but Rites of War. And then I had a unit of infiltrators, and then I had two Valiants and two Reapers, and that was my list. So I had a bunch of tanks and guys in boxes. So that was 100% on purpose, knowing to be having guys standing out in the middle of nowhere getting shot to death. So
I went a
my
similar
first.
route, but I dropped a couple of the tanks to do Terminator Brig with Helbricht and Grimaldus. So qu I only took 7 tanks instead of 10.
My first round I played a very nice orc player.
Yep, very nice work.
32 shots of Melta in my list. It's pretty noxious. So anything big, tanky like that just dies. We played it to full out, but it was pretty much done by top of two, bottom of two. Like the game was more or less over. It was just a matter of cleaning up what he had left. We'll just go through all of mine, and then you can kind of go through your games, Ben. How about
Okay, sounds good.
that? My round two, I played a Dark Eldar player with like 10 Venoms. He was a very nice player, very skilled player, but he knew what was going to happen there because he was the good poison, like plus one to poison army. So I'm in a bunch
He's
of
like,
boxes.
uh-oh.
He looked at all my tanks. He goes, "I have Drazar and this succubus that's really good at killing tanks." And he charged me with his succubus, and I overwatched with a valiant, and she poofed to Melta, and that was the end of that. And Drazar got out, popped a rhino, and then died horribly to the Melta that came in at him
I mean,
afterwards.
Impulsor. We didn't
So,
have rhinos.
or Impulsor, yes. So that was that. Round three, I played a Dark Angels player who he had 20 Terminators, a couple characters and Terminator type stuff, and then he had a bunch of Ravenwing with it too. So his Terminators technically weren't OPSEC the way he had built his list because he had infiltrators as well. He got top of one and he thought he had to just hit me as hard as he wing stuff. And he did, and he killed a tank and took two tanks down to one wound. But my clapback killed all of his speeders, killed one of his attack bike units. I wrapped the other attack bike unit with assault intercessors, and he didn't push his terminators out at me the whole game. I shot at him a little bit with some Melta, killed one or two, and he just pulled back and just let me control the board, and that was the game. I wasn't going to come after his Terminators. He was just convinced I was going to come after his Terminators, and my Assault Intercessors were going to kill him. So obviously, an inexperienced player, I think, would be the best way to describe it. Not understanding that matchup and what he needed to do to win that matchup, and
Right.
how strong that matchup actually was for him. Because I think turn five, he finally started pushing his Terminators out and like killed like three tanks, and like just smashed them up. But his secondary game was a little off because he couldn't Codex Warfare really effectively because he wanted to stay in the Devastator Doctrine, but I killed most of his heavy stuff. And the Assault Doctrine portion of Codex Warfare just sucks, more or less.
Well, it's half the points.
Yeah. Yep. It's half the points, and it's just a little harder to get like six kills in a turn with like assault. Or can be. So by that point, so the first three rounds are win, loss, random, and then round four, they paired by battle points. And at this point, I had dropped four battle points. I had scored 100, 97, and then a 99. So I flew really high to the sun. I hit my goal of winning my first three games at Adepticon. And then I played into Jeff Brown, who is I think he said he was a coach for WTC Canada. He was playing guard, and we played on the Necron board.
Who went first?
He did.
Uh-oh.
There was just nothing. I had the five invuln. My invulns were to maybe slightly below average. Didn't really matter. I outflanked two impulsors, and when I brought those two impulsors on to the bottom of two, I had six models left on the board.
So very killy guard list.
I mean, when you have Lehman Russes that can advance and shoot, it's just hilarious.
Right.
And you hand out full rerolls to one of them. I mean, it's just the amount of damage was insane. I mean, I brought a shit kicker list and I got my ass kicked. So, I think if I went first, it's a little bit more of a game, but I still lose this matchup. Just that board was. There was no place to hide. He got lines on literally every tank that was on the board. I was able to hide a few Marines, but by turn two, he was able to cut off all those angles and shoot my shit dead. So, but he was a very, very pleasant opponent. I loved playing him. He's a great guy. He just pushed my shit in. So, but I hit my goal. I went 3-1 at Adepticon. That was the same as I did last year. But last year I lost in round three. This year I lost in round four. So if I do decide to go back next year, obviously the goal will be to win all four and try to make top 16 this time. So,
Why don't we just go with top 16? Because that could still be. Like, you could
yeah,
tie. And a tie would be
I
okay.
could.
And we'll get to why that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, let's run through your games, Ben.
Yeah, so round one, I played Chaos. It was Word Bearers. And this is a gentleman who, I believe, maybe twice a year. And it's been an Adepticon at LVO this year. So, he still went to LVO. So good on him. That's a pretty competitive scene. But just the matchup here, he had a little bit of a mismatch as far as just pure tanks, I guess. He just didn't have the tank killing capability. He had some warp talons, he had some oblitz, but I'll give you a hint. The first thing I killed was the oblitz. So after the oblitz died and I took a flank, he just was never able to recover from that, and I stuffed him into the other side of his zone with my impulsors. And just slowly died in that corner while I was taking on his whole army of possessed, because this was War Bearers with possess bomb. And
Yeah.
so I never let him out, and I was able to take down his banners. He wasn't able to take mine down. I ended up with 100, but he was a pleasant guy. We had a
Is it
great
an
game. Say it
is
again.
it an is it an amazing how the script is completely flipped on Chaos Space Marines from LVO, like if Chaos Space Marines walked into Marines, they know they're going to kick their teeth in, Emperor's
Yeah.
Children or Black Legion, and now it feels like it's a 180. I know they lost Armor Contempt. I think they got a they didn't get much points increases, just a little bit here and there,
No,
but
I mean, I got a little bit on the Marcus Slaanesh, but I don't think Word Bearers lost a giant amount. So
yeah,
it's just
it's
interesting to
it.
see how much AOC actually affected. It was a lot, actually.
Yeah. AOC on the Terminator brick made it so damn hard to
Tank.
kill.
Yeah, so tanky. Yeah. Or the possessed brick, even.
Yep. Yep. Yeah,
The
that's
guy
even so.
I was playing. But anyway, so I'd say the fun points about this is that he had two Hellbrutes in strategic reserve. He put them in my backfield, and we were having such a good time. Instead of doing the tactically right choice and running away, I sent Hellbrick full blast into those Hellbrutes. Him versus two Hellbrutes. And I, man, did I enjoy the juices of victory there when I Hellbreak down two Hellbrutes. I melted one and then charged in and killed one in, with swings and the other one with the last couple swings. Because Hellbreak gets seven swings on the charge. He had eight here because I litanied him. It was just a, it was just fun, you know, just to
A
do
thematic moment.
that thematic moment. And he's just like, I didn't think he could get both of them. And I'm like, to be fair, neither did I, but I was gonna try it. So that
That's
was
how you
pretty.
go
Yep, that's
to
yep. So round two was against Space Wolves, a beautifully painted army. Actually, one best painted. This game really only played like 2.5 turns, because I removed all his models after that point. You know, he was definitely there because of his paint. Was a little rusty on his rules, and then at the end started arguing with me about what the score would be. When I'm literally like, I'm not. He's like, we're not allowed to play out the game, and I'm just like, get. I'm not actually talking out the game with you. What I'm telling you is what I can, what I'm going to score, because you literally can't stop me. You don't have any models left, and like, I'm not taking any points that I can't get physically.
I'm
So,
walking here, taking these points because I can go
yeah,
stand on this
I'm
objective,
RNDing
raise a
here because you
banner.
can't stop me, et cetera, et cetera. And I just thought it was weird that he was chill all game, and eventually I did say while we were playing, we're not going to make it, so we need to speed this up. And I made the choice not to knock him because I was being very, you know, I know I'm very competitive, and I could tell he was a painter, you know, and I just didn't want to give him a feel bad. But then when he started arguing score with me when he has two models left, and I like, you can't stop me from doing these things. He's like trying to take away points from me for no reason. I didn't get it. So, I mean, I did get a little bit stern with him. I think that's probably the sternest I think people have seen me in a while. But I thought it
Yeah.
was, I mean, it was pretty
Yep.
justified in my opinion, because like there was zero reason for that to be an issue, right? Because I'm there, we're scoring the game out. I can get these points legitimately. I still have 3 turns to do so. And the
There was
reason that
time on
it
the clock, too.
And
There
there
was
was,
time on the
yeah, there was
clock.
time on the clock too. It's not like I was trying to talk out after time was going on. Now, I did, it's just when you're going to these events as a highly competitive player, you're going to catch this every once in a while. And it's just important that you deal with it correctly. Now, I'm not saying I dealt with it correctly, but I got to tell you, like, I don't lose my cool very often, and that was pretty close to me losing my cool just because, like, why? What's the point of what you're doing right now? Now, it could have been, and this is something I didn't think about at the time, that he still thought he had a path to victory. I don't know how. He had two models left. One of them being an impulsor, the other one being a wolf that was next to like five assault intercessors. That wolf was a Frisian wolf. That wolf was not going to kill them. But anyway. But it was still a pretty fun game. I don't, he didn't quite understand what Black Templar Terminators did, and that really cost him because he advanced his Thunderwolf Cav out and had them in the open with his chaplain out and in a position where I could charge him, hoping that he would stick an 11-inch charge into me, which he failed. And then I was just able to absolutely murder them. Now he got Ragnar out and like 10 assault intercessors and 5 blade guard out of an impulsor to counter with me, and they charge my Hellbricht and my Terminators. And instead of swinging the blade guard or the super chaplain into my Terminators first to whittle them down, he swung with Ragnar first, to which I responded with a transhuman. So Hellbricht, he into Hellbricht, mind you. So Hellbricht lives. I interrupt with the Terminators. I kill the chaplain and the intercessors and all the blade guard. Because my Terminators are disgusting. They're perfectly meant for that. And that just neutered the whole game for him. And after that, I just don't think that there was any coming back. But we still moved on. On to my next game, because that's enough about the Space Wolf game. My next game was against Patrick Sessions and his
A local
Deathwing.
guy.
Local guy. Kind of a bummer to play a local guy when you go out to a GT that you can play at RTTs. But, you know, he's 2-0 at this point. He's doing really well, so congrats to him. It was a very close game. I would say if I'm him, I would deploy terrain a little bit differently, because what he allowed me to do is basically his list is 45 Terminators. That's it, or 47. It allowed me to funnel his army into one co or one channel, have you? And my plan was to have my Terminators sit there and hold the line for as long as they could so that I could just outscore him and then move on. Well, my Terminators ended up dying, and what I thought I needed to hold the line suddenly was just dead on turn two, which I didn't expect it to die on turn two. I was expecting him to have to make it to the assault doctrine to kill him, but I just failed an enormous amount of two ups or three ups. But that, I mean, that's the way cookie crumbles sometimes. But it came back around because he piled into my infiltrators that were sitting behind my Terminators just in case he wanted to try and deep strike. I was keeping that so that it was a longer charge. And we sat there all the rest of the game because he didn't have shock assault and he couldn't, he had 11 swings and I'm transhuman every turn. And even if he's hitting on twos, it's like 10 hits and five wounds and then three die with the Helix Gauntlet, two die. And I spiked a couple of saves, or he rolled like under on his wound rolls. So like I lost one and then I'd res him with my apothecary because there were no more Terminators to res. And then he'd kill like two more. I'd res one and then, this and just them being into this crevice where he couldn't get out just made it so all my infiltrators could just sit there. And by the time that they finally gave out and got charged by another one, and actually they never died, they were down to one model. It was too late. It was turn five, and the score, I already ran away with the score. So,
Yeah, I remember walking over to that game, like, because my game finished pretty quick, because, and I just walked over and like, you look at me like, I think I'm gonna lose this game. All my Terminators are dead. Like, all right, that's a thing, I guess.
right, and just bad dice can happen, and
It's,
that's part of like playing Terminators. But then the infiltrators are like, "What's bad dice, dog? We got your back. Don't you worry." And like
they're
I thought for
like.
sure he was gonna get me, and then just some bad dice happened on his end too. So
Yeah, it was like for Sparta, basically, there. You know, they're gonna hold that line.
yeah, and that's funny. It's because it felt like 300 because it was my five infiltrators, which. Originally I thought it was going to be my Terminators, but no, my five infiltrators were the ones that held the line. The uncommon hero.
It was fantastic.
Yep. And my fourth round, now this is interesting because this is one of the WTC guys for Germany. Flew all the way from Germany for this. He's a fantastic player. His name's Arnie. Great dude. However, his list was a little bit illegal, which he knows and he apologized for. We ended up tying. But I'm going to count this as a win because the only reason he won is from that illegal warlord trade he took.
Or tied because
Oh
of the
yeah,
because he was able to
tied.
hold objectives.
Yep, tied. So all it did was affect my standing in the top 16, which didn't really I didn't really care that much, to be honest. Because the Deathwing game, I did not score a ton of points
But
because yeah, go
he
ahead.
also got into the top 16, which then they caught it after he was already like after top 16 already started, they caught it. They told him he couldn't use it anymore, but he was able to make the finals. That is the one thing there, is they didn't just DQ him out.
Right,
You
and
know?
it did affect stuff because he definitely should have lost our game
Yep.
if.
Which means somebody else not might have would have made top 16.
Right, but anyway, that's a semantic. But we had a great game. So my plan here was to just bottle him into his territory with my Terminators surrounding one of the Hecatons, and I was hopefully going to be able to shoot one of the Hecatons dead so that the only thing that it could shoot was my Terminators. Because my Terminators, even though that this is Greater Thurian League, he had Magna Rails, so they ignore invulns. He still was going to have to roll that six on my Terminators to ignore my invuln. And then I also had the mini transhuman, so there's still a good 16% chance he just doesn't wound with it. So my game plan was I got first turn. I just YOLO'd forward. I shot everything at the Hecaton. I did do nothing. I did like five wounds to it, which it's just bad rolling. But my plan is
What
still,
happens to Hecatons?
yeah, and my plan is still go to, basically take the board and then slowly die. And that's exactly what happened. So I made the big thing was is that I needed to make my Terminator charge a turn earlier than I was anticipating because of the damage I took turn his bottom of one. He ended up rolling pretty decently and smoking four tanks off the get go, with one hecat or three tanks with one hecaton, and then one, two, three, yeah. And so I needed to make my charge a little bit sooner because I did reserve a repulsor or an impulsor, so I did have not my full armada on the floor. So I'm a little bit on the back foot on turn two. My litanies go off, my plus two to charge goes off. I did end up losing a Terminator, so I'm able to res a guy and give myself a couple more inches. So I use that and I get the I nail a it was an 11-inch charge to the Hecaton down to a 9 because of that, and I did end up nailing that, but I felt like it was a little bit justified because I made like no invulns on his turn. So I kind of felt like, some good dice were coming my way. Not that I, but like I kind of needed this to happen, right? Because if I don't get into that Hecaton and it shoots me again, I lose the rest of my tanks, and then all I have is my one impulsor. So I shoot up impulsor up the right flank. I get dudes out to take his objective, take his banner down. I've taken the middle. I've bannered the middle. I hold my own objective in the top left one with infiltrators. I have banners on it, so I'm looking good for banners. And then basically, the rest of the game, I could sit here and talk about what tactics I did for the rest of it. The only other thing I'll say is that I did catch him off guard with the fact that Grimaldus starts with four models in his unit. So even though all my servitors ended up dying, I still could count for engage. So he did have me marked less engaged than I should have had. And I had to walk him through that, which is fine. I mean, would you honestly remember that a character started with four models in it? Probably not. So I was, Grimaldus was purposely jump roping in my backfield for a while. But that was to score me points. And so I had to walk him through that post turn, which is kind of annoying because it's like you kind of feel like, look, dude, I didn't cheat you. Like, this is how I got this. And if they don't believe you, it's kind of tough. But luckily, that wasn't the case here. And he was totally like, yeah, Grimaldus is totally for the start. I just forgot about that.
So with that tie, you were able to make top 16.
I was, yep.
I want to, before we get into your top 16 games, I want to talk a little bit about like something that Adepticon did that's a little, it's quirky and kind of it's flat out stupid, I think. So, in order to get into the top 16, on top of either winning four of your games or scoring very high with a loss or a tie, you also needed a paint score that was 20 or better on their rubric. This was known beforehand. It was talked about. It's been talked about by us, I believe, and talked about by in various chats and stuff throughout competitive 40K. The one issue I have with it, I don't mind them having a paint requirement, but it should just be to be in the tournament. There were two players that went 4-0 and one that went 3-0-1 that did not make the top 16. Those people eliminated people in round it throughout the tournament. Going undefeated and making those ties, they literally eliminated people from making top 16 that might have made top 16 matched up into someone else. I think if you're not good enough to make the top 16 from a paints perspective, you shouldn't be allowed to play in the tournament at all because it just ruins other people's events potentially. And some of the other stuff is there was a game on stream talked out after round one that resulted in both of those players making the top 16.
That
They
to
had
me is
exclusive.
a big no-no. I think if I'm Adepticon, I'm releasing a statement about that afterwards that either I was unaware or like.
And I spoke to the TO about it the next day. And when I'd found out about it through different chats, I brought it up to him. But round five was already underway. And the TO made the comment to me that he would have DQ'd both of those players had he known beforehand. He was not going to allow either of them, and both of them looked like they were losing their games at that point in time as well. But he did make the comment he was not letting either of those players move on if they had won. I still think that's really bad. I don't know if I agree with that.
I
It
think
just
I'm.
kind of.
I run GTs, right? Nothing as big as Adepticon. Trust me, it's a big con. But I have had Renegade hit up to 100 players, and what I've, I am not afraid to DQ anybody. And if it's the top 16, whereas a Renegade we do a top 8, I'm doing it. Like I don't care when it is. I'm walking in there, and I'm like, okay, well, they win because you're disqualified, and here's why.
Yep.
And
And
go ahead.
the other thing is the other kind of thing that happened was Arnie, great player. We got to play him in teams as well. Fantastic individual. But his list was illegal. It wasn't kind of illegal. It was illegal. He took a Warlord trade on one of the Ironkin assistants for the Iron Master. It literally says they cannot take that war. It literally says Ironkin assistants cannot take Warlord traits, even though they have the character keyword. It allowed him to tie Ben. He made top 16. He was allowed to continue to play in top 16 without that Warlord trait. He made the finals. He should have, like, honestly, in past years, I think they DQ him out. Like, it seemed like in past years when people like Aaron Along had issues, they got DQ'd out. You know, things like that. You gotta, like, the integrity of the event is just, I mean, it's already fairly low. A lot of like top competitive players don't have much high regard for Adepticon because of the terrain issues and some of the quirky rulings that we talked about earlier. But like when you have things like this, it just hurts your event so bad. It's like either just be a hobby event and not be the competitive event that it is, or get your shit together where and have the balls to DQ players like when they're doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing. Because like talking against the rules, you can't do it. You know, it explicitly says in the pack you cannot talk out your games, and that wasn't the only time I that a game was talked out. You just couldn't prove it on some of the other ones because they weren't on stream. That one happened to be on stream, so you can go watch War Games Live. It's round four. That's when it happened. So,
And like, so
yeah,
I'm
go
going to
ahead.
comment here on this. Mistakes happen, right? They absolutely happen. And if you have a mistake like that and you're in the top 16, I would drop if it's me.
Yeah, my list was the other guy I dropped.
Yep. You know, it's one thing to play a unit down, but like this is giving that the word. So the Warlord trait in question was Guild Officiate, where he can tag something and make it OPSEC. So that's a big deal when you're not running a ton of OPSEC and you're making two wound minus one damage, two up save, Armor of Content models OPSEC, which is what he was doing. Which is fine if you can take the trait, but like he didn't even have another character to take the trait on, in case
You
that
only
was
had two
not a.
characters, right?
Yep, he only had two characters. He had Uther the Destined and the Forge Master. So if I'm Arnie, just if you do hear this, just if you have a problem with your list like this next time, I know you traveled all the way from Germany for it, but like just if you're in the
Right thing to do is
finals, just
drop.
drop. Just drop. You know, that I think the good example for that is Andrew Gagneau was in the top 16 one year at Adepticon, had an illegal list. Had a Blood Angel's Relic on a Flesh Terror guy, I think, which he couldn't do. And what did he do? He dropped, like you're supposed to. So
And
just it.
he apologized to all four of his opponents, I believe, too.
Yep.
You
So
know, I mean, yeah.
just it's not all on the TO side. We don't have to play the, oh, I'm sorry, I get to keep playing though. Like you can take it upon yourself and be like, I messed up. I don't deserve to be here right now because I won games because of this. So I'm gonna drop.
And I don't think, and I want to be perfectly clear, Arnie is not a bad guy. Arnie is a fantastic individual, but he made a mistake, and this is a competitive event, and he had an illegal list. And what you do when that happens is you drop.
Yep. So that's my two cents on that. Let's move on to my top
Yeah,
16.
let's go to your top 16.
So first
A
round, I'm
familiar face.
against. Yeah, we're against a familiar face for Scott. I'm against Jeff Brown. He had a beautiful guard army. Pretty nasty, you know. No Rogal Dorns, which is a plus for me, because if you don't know how Templar function, I'm all multi-meltas. So if I get some T9 mixed in there, I'm definitely like, uh-oh, right? So turn one. The terrain, it's pretty good for me, to be honest. We've got the two big rocks with the ruins, so I'm able to stage up. Why this is important is I'm able to stage up my vehicles to hide behind my terminators, and then I'm able to put a terminator, or I'm sorry, not a terminator, an impulsor on each side, so that if he wants to engage me, he has to. So okay, well I should preface this with this first. I think first mistake that he made was he mirrored my middle Rock. I put a rock in the middle covering my objective. This is recover the relics, three objectives on my side. So I'm obviously going to take banners. So I put the rock directly in the center, pretty much, blocking my objective so that my Terminators can essentially sit behind there and then come out when I need them. He mirrored me on his side, again, making kind of like a channel in there. And I think his plan there was to make it so that I couldn't just freely flow into his deployment zone. But I used that against him in our deployment. And how I did that is I took an impulsor and put it on each of the sides so that if he wanted to gain, and I did it back, so that if he wanted to gain LOS to me with his Lehman Russes, he was going to have to move in such a way with the way he had his runes set up that the only thing he could see is the sides. And if you have to spend, and to do so, he would have to move away from some of his buffs, including one side would not be near Lord Solar. So when I did that, I ended up going first, so it didn't matter. But I take Codex Warfare, I took banners, and I took
Assault.
Shock Assault. Yep. And the reason I do that is because when I'm playing defensive like banners, I always take an aggressive one first because the best way to keep people from taking down my banners is to mess with their objectives. So, and I like to play a little cagey, so I kept doing the shoot an
He
impulsor up, get
also
dudes out. What's that?
made a mistake in his pregame. Lord Solar has an ability you can either get a CP or flip a secondary. He switched from boots on the ground to banners.
Yeah, I thought that was a mistake because I had impulsors with dudes to get out, and he did not have much in the way of OPSEC.
See, I he didn't learn from my game because he killed all my shit too fast that the impulsors can move and guys can get out afterwards. And then so Ben was able to like take down banners and shock assault in this game.
Yep, and I'll get there. But one of the big things that I did is he left me an opening on one flank to get at. So essentially, he had one squad of Karskins inside of a Chimera. I sent two impulsors that way to because they were the mech upgraded Karskins. I sent two impulsors that way so I could maybe get that, and then if I have to charge the Chimera with the impulsor, so and kind of block him from coming on my side of the board, so the Karskins either have to shoot that impulsor or just not do anything for a turn. Well, I got the best case scenario here where the Chimera blew up, and then I was able to charge the Karskins themselves with the impulsor. But the other part of it is on the other side is I got the flank out and I was able to get guys out and shock assault and away an objective from some sentinels. But I was also able to grab line of sight with a couple pistols and a frag grenade into his other squad of Karskins with the Barbados Key. I was able to kill four of them right away. So I'm already screening him out pretty well because I have two impulsors in his face. The only place he can go with those Karskins are in the middle. They will absolutely die horribly if they go in the middle. So I'm already putting him on the back foot. He has to clear out two impulsors and 10 assault intercessors, which he gets one impulsor and five assault intercessors on his turn, plus my Gladiator Reaper, which I put in a precarious spot because I wanted to snag one of his Dorns with Codex Warfare. Not his Dorn, I'm sorry. Lehman Russes. And I got the regular Battle Cannon one because that's the only one he exposed, and rightfully so. And then he plugged the middle with Sentinels to stop the Terminators from breaching through. So I cleared that with shooting two, and then I waited one more turn. So he had to pull his Lehman Russes to stop my Terminators from going through, and that's ultimately what I wanted him to do, is you have to use Lehman Russ. And then I used the power of Canticle of Hate to pile into two more Lehman Russ, tying up basically the rest of his army. And from when I got that charge off and I was able to kind of position so that I could swing into two, I kind of knew that I was going to either get a really high score or close to 100. So that's kind of when I knew that the game was over.
Yeah, and I remember I walked by and I was there watching the game and I was chatting with him. I was chatting with him at one point and he looked at me and goes, "It's turn three and my Karskins haven't shot a bullet yet." And I was like, "Oh, that's bad. That's not what a guard player wants to do." So,
No, and that was on purpose. I was not going to let him do that.
yeah, yep, and that's 100% what he was kind of saying is like he's like I think the terrain. I think he had mentioned to me like. On Thursday, that his goal was to make top 16, and after that, he didn't really care what happened. So,
Make no
Not
mistake,
saying
he
that.
was still trying to win that game.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yes. I 100% he was trying to win that game, but Jeff had a hell of a run, made top 16. That's not nothing. So.
Yep, not nothing is correct.
But he ran into the buzzsaw that is Ben Sherwin. So.
Yeah, I got vengeance for my boy Scott.
Yeah. So that takes you round of 16, and you got to play on stream.
Yeah, so I got to play Nick Rose on stream, and both me and Nick are very tired at this point. I have had very little sleep. And I just played against Jeff last round, so I'm a little bit gassed because I was at with a tie. I was at the bottom of the seeds playing up. So me and Nick played on, I don't remember if it was Death and Zeal Conversion. I think it was Conversion. I made some major mistakes right away, and there's a couple hindsight mistakes and one, so that clear me out, and then I just stack up primary. There are one, I forgot got power weapons for free, so their damage and melee decent. Two, I forgot about blip just briefly, and it only mattered me to being like, oh, he doesn't have any blips, blah, well, he had blips. Why that matters is because target with my Reaper advanced it. He was only able to get one squad and one bike squad to shoot at it, and unfortunately he was able to roll 7 sixes, and then he got an additional wound after roll the rest of the hits. So yeah, my Gladiator Reaper went silently into the night. Oof, is right. But then basically it was back and forth, taking up the top left. I sent my chaplain up there to bail out my infiltrators. That didn't happen. You can catch this game on stream too, by the way. I took the bottom right, but then when he brought his reserves in after my terminators were dealt with, he brought in them to the bottom right to deal with my terminators. It was just not a good affair from there. My terminators died a little bit sooner than I would have liked to, but that's just part of like gaming, right? That's what can happen. You can catch the game on stream. Like I said, very back and forth. I still stay in it, picking up a ton of Cortex Warfare points near the end, picking up his five mans. But it was just not enough to seal the victory. He ended up getting me like 92-78. I still scored phenomenally, but when I picked up my last four on, primary instead of an eight, that's kind of when I knew the coffin was sealed, so.
Yeah, you need to start turning 12s on your primary, and you just weren't.
Yeah, I wasn't able to get a couple 12s snuck in there. So that was kind of a bummer, but that's okay. Nick's a great play, class act. I love Nick. He's just, it looks like he's playing like I don't understand what he's doing, but he's playing GSC with 200 models, so he's playing fast. So it's okay that I was asking him for clarifications. The only thing we talked about is the Weber. He got the Weber wrong because he didn't know that Halbrick increased my strength all the time, not just when I swung. So that would take it so the Weber wounds me differently. That would come up kind of big, but that's okay. That's what, I don't begrudge him for that because normally it is fives and sixes for the weapon. Anyway, I digress. So overall, pretty good showing. I ended up fifth with that, which is the best of the round eighters, which I'll take. But this is the first year where I really felt like no matter who I played, I had a shot at winning. Whereas like the previous year when I got fifth, it was I played Harlequins and like the overwhelming 9 Void Weavers. if I didn't go first, I was absolutely lose. It didn't feel like that with this list, but I got to play my boys in black. I got to play my passion army, and I got to bring them at the highest competitive level and feel like I could win a super major with it, which is such a good feeling. Granted the points are a little bit odd, but I like the free stuff on the Marines, the Meltas, it doesn't matter. What matters is that it didn't feel overpowered either. It didn't feel like nobody can take a game from me because I have all this free Melta. It felt...
Yeah, your opponents always had a chance.
My opponents always had a chance, and the list ends up like taking damage quite regularly just because it's still a 5-up, right? And like I was describing earlier, my Gladiator felt fragile at T8, 3-up, 5-up, with a 5-up versus mortal wounds.
Yeah, and that's kind of like what we talked about. 10th is supposed to hopefully change some of that. That, you know, your models can actually survive. They don't just evaporate if you expose them. So,
And yeah, we are so looking forward to that.
Yeah. And I mean, just kind of, so Nick ends up losing next round to Nassim. Arnie played on the other side. I think he played in Tom Ogden. He beat Ogden. Then Arnie and Nassim played in the finals, and Nassim ended up winning it. So big congrats to Nassim on his championship there. You know, a lot of really great players have won Adepticon. Nick Nottavati, our own Matt Root has won Adepticon.
Yep.
Myself, I ended up finishing 30th. Extremely happy with that finish. I was in 3-0 in position to try and get into that top 16, which was my goal. I wanted to be in position to make that top 16 cut. So I've never been in a position to make a cut like that. So that was one of my goals, and I was in that position. So it was fun.
Yeah, we're super proud of Scott of that too, right? Because it's like so awesome when you like can see the light. Even if you don't make it, you can see the light, you know? Like, this is a possibility. Like, this is something that I want to happen, and I could actually make this happen. Even if it doesn't happen, the fact that you're in a position to do so is really fulfilling. So, awesome job, Scott.
Yeah, and when you get into positions like this, you kind of – it helps reinforce the improvements that you are seeing in yourself. Because, like, you know, I know I'm a better player than I was a year ago, and even than I was 2 years ago, definitely. So this kind of just reaffirms that, you know, that I am making progress. I am getting better at the game. I feel like everybody around me is also getting better at the game, but I feel like I'm going at a slightly faster pace than some of my peers. So hopefully making that step into that, you know, consistent X1 type player. That's kind of my next step. You know, I kind of bob between the X1 and the X2 type player. So my goal is to be an X1 player. Like, that's just kind of my standard. And then hopefully I can shoot up and be that XO player for an event or two.
Yeah. And you know what? That'd be just super awesome. So that's going to segue me into my next point. If you are looking for some extra help, we do offer coaching here. We offer some extra time. We also have a second part of this podcast, which, like I mentioned, is going to be, it's been on a little bit of a hiatus because we know 10th is coming. We are helping people individually with certain stuff like matchups and all that, but we are going to spend an enormous amount of time on 10th edition so that you guys get the information that what we find out with 10th right away, and you are the first to know it, and you're not like having to message us solely, you know, like, hey, what's the deal? Like, what's 10th about? You know, you're going to know. You're going to be the first to know. We're going to live stream or at least post episodes about 10th edition that we're working through the different material, because it's going to be a lot because everything's getting indexed. They mentioned that. Everything's going to be an index. So
big blank slate.
Yeah. So if you are looking for some extra help, you can check us out on the Patreon at www.patreon.com/AW40K or at our website, advancedwarfare40k.com. And you can check out our little profiles. Tells us a little bit about all of us here at Advanced Warfare. Myself, Scott, Charlie's not up there yet, but you know Charlie Andre. If you like Dark Angels, you like Charlie Andre. Anyway, if you're looking for that, that's where to find that. And that's pretty much what I got to talk about tonight. Scott, what else do you got?
You know, just overall, I think Adepticon was a good event. You know, I mean, it was fun.
Yep.
A good time there.
Next week, we're going to be going teams with our teammates, Tim Royers, Matt Root, myself, and Scott. We'll go over the team event, how our impressions of it, and then how well we did. It'll be a good time. It was the best team tournament we've had all time. We ended up not winning anything, but that's okay. We actually tried our hardest, but not to give away too much, but we'll talk about that next week. So if you want to check us out, you can check that out then. But otherwise, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.